This warning, our next conversation might be difficult to hear because we're going to talk about a time before birth control and the lengths women went to end pregnancies. With so much attention focused on Roe v. Wade and whether the Supreme Court will strike down the 1973 ruling granting a right to end a pregnancy, you'd be forgiven for forgetting, or maybe not even knowing, about the case from the year before, 1972, that legalized birth control to prevent pregnancies and paved the way for Roe. It was called Eisenstadt versus Baird, and the court ruled that all women, not just married women, had the right to birth control. Yes, prior to that, only married women had that right. The Baird in Eisenstadt v. Baird was Bill Baird, a distributor of new birth control devices like foam and condoms. He became maybe the only male reproductive rights activist to be arrested and jailed, beaten many times. He's now turning 90, and this is still his life's calling. That is correct, right, Bill?
Would you believe I've been doing this for 60 years? And I'm so excited to speak with you today to spend my birthday, because I grew up quite poor in the Great Depression. And to think that 90 years later, someone still cares if I'm alive or dead or what my views are. So thank you so much.
Let's just remind people, you were jailed 8 times in 5 different states going back to the 60s for displaying, discussing, and distributing birth control. For people who are saying, no way, talk about how dangerous that was.
Well, it was when you think I began way back in 1963. I was clinical director for a manufacturer of the foam. And I was at Harlem Hospital talking about the research on the drug. And I heard a scream. And like anybody else, I raced into the hallway at Harlem Hospital. And I saw this young black woman stagger in. And I caught her because I knew she was going to hit the floor. And I held her in my arms. And she murmured something about her 9 children. And then I noticed she was covered with blood from the waist down, as if somebody had thrown a can of red paint on her. And I saw this piece of coat hanger sticking out of her body. And as I held her, she gave her last gasp, and she died. And I grieved because she could not get birth control. It was against the law for unmarried women. But also, she could not get an abortion. But she had the money. She could have gone down the street to wealthy hospitals, and with the right connections, she could have been alive and lived. And I grieved to that day because I grew up very poor. My sister died when I was only 9. She had appendicitis, and we didn't know what it was, just she was screaming in pain. And we didn't have the money for a doctor, and her appendix broke. Nobody should die because they're too poor. This was the same condition with this woman and her children who were without a mother.
Yeah. Well, so the direct line from your childhood, during the Depression, a violent home, your dad beat your mom. Your mom didn't have enough food for 6 kids. You had another sibling who died from a lack of ability to care. You know, you can draw a direct line from losing your own siblings to that woman, a terrible image, Bill Baird, in your arms. And again, for people gasping, this is what happened. I mean, women resorted to hangers or back alley doctors.
Robin, women used to take douching bags and fill it with Lysol or bleach or turpentine. Yeah. But most times what people would do, they would take a baster that you use at Thanksgiving time, fill it with a saline solution, like a cup of water with a couple of tablespoons of salt, shove it inside the cervix of the uterus, and by squeezing it, they would not only squeeze the water that could perhaps induce a miscarriage, but would also induce air. And you could die in those days. It was called an air embolism.
Yeah. Again, this is so difficult for people to hear, but this was the world, not just pre-abortion choice, but pre-birth control. So here you are suddenly selling these very early forms of birth control.
Yeah.
You bought a cheap UPS truck. You painted the words Parents Aid Society on it, which you had formed. And you went out to try to educate women about birth control, what was available.
I would go into well-known poverty areas, and I would send out literature ahead of time. And they were so eager. The van would be filled time and time again.
You also knew the police would come. And to have legal standing in a case as a man, the only way you could be part of the case was to have broken the law, which you did, and arrested, beaten in jail several times. Bill Baird, what do you say to people today who say, it is awful that your mom had no choice of birth control and was in an abusive relationship and had children die? But then they might also say, We do have birth control now, thanks in part to you. If she had chosen birth control, the world wouldn't have had you. But also, because you helped bring birth control to so many, maybe there's less of a need for abortions and a law permitting it.
Well, another way of looking at it is that my mother, instead of having six children, may have had one or two or three, and therefore been able to give the children more. And I had the belief that children should be born into a family loved and wanted, and we were hardly loved and wanted.
What would you say if the court does overturn Roe v. Wade?
I have to word this so carefully because it's hard for me to be diplomatic, because way back in 1972, that's the year of Baird versus Eisenstadt, the headline said, Baird predicts abortion will be legal in 1 year. 1 year. And what happened? 1 year later, abortion was legal. Then what do you think the headline said then? The headline said, Baird warns, fight is not over. I had predicted that the Catholic Church in particular would organize and later would unite with evangelicals to unite and form a mighty force of, quote, moral crusaders based on their religious values, which to me have no place in a general society. I use the analogy, and I hope somebody will hear me. Jehovah Witnesses would never try to pass a law banning blood transfusions. Orthodox Jews don't ban a law preventing you and I from eating ham and eggs because they're opposed to pork.
Well, with Bill Baird, I mean, you're 90 years old. From the sounds, I think you're going to be around for quite a while kicking.
I'm fighting for 100. What do you think of that?
But you immediately went to that woman from however many decades ago in that hospital dying in your arms. You know, and she wasn't the only one you saw. How are you feeling about this?
I grieve in my heart of soul because, you know, if they only would have listened to me. I was a realist. I could see when I went to these conventions, the Right to Life convention, they would say, fertilized eggs are people, soul enters a conception, and they would believe it. I see grown-up people now, legislators, today, saying on network television, fertilized eggs are people.
Mm. Well, we're reminded that one of your arrests was when you were demonstrating, I think it was, there was a birth control pill and a diaphragm.
Yes.
And there was a woman in the audience who was holding a 14-month-old baby.
Of all my battles, I will tell you what you just said. It was one of my most painful. I gave a speech in Huntington, Long Island, and then all of a sudden I heard a woman scream. A young mother holding a baby was being handcuffed by the police, being arrested. I said, what are you doing? They said, we're charging you with the crime of endangering the morals of a minor. A 14-month baby, they said, saw birth control devices and could get sexual ideas. Now, this is a baby. You got to be stark raving nuts. And they brought the charges against the mother and I, both of us faced 3 years in prison, and of course, I won the case. But my four little children, small kids, we got mail at home that my children would be murdered. And my first wife said, I'm out of here. And I understood that. And she moved hundreds of miles away, basically in hiding. And I was close with my kids growing up. But when they grew up, they kind of didn't like the idea that their father brought about a lot of attention that they really didn't want. And I didn't try to have it. But that's how the anti-abortion people think. And it's sad because they say they're pro-life, but killing me is not.
Lots of sacrifice. Speak to men right now.
I would say to men, look, there's something in medicine called a maternal death rate. Women die of childbirth, toxemia of pregnancy, the uterus can rupture. Lots of things can go wrong. What's a death rate for us men in a waiting room? Zero. Men are not very brave because we did the vasectomies also. Well, can you imagine a doctor putting a curette into the uterus and trying to abort her? And we're going to say to legislators, male legislators, essentially, that you're going to dictate to women what their freedom should be, what their life should be? How dare you have the arrogance to do that? So I suggest to men, if you don't want to see women organize and make vasectomies a crime and you go to jail for it, you would find very quickly no man would want that, and no man should ever support, or any woman should ever support, another human being told how to maintain their lifestyle or their pregnancy.
Bill Baird, his 1972 legal challenge cleared the way for single women to get birth control and paved the way for 1973's Roe v. Wade. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.